I'd like to ask each of you to think about the fundamental question that brought us here today. How do we feed 9 billion people? And give that the context of biotechnology and the kinds of technological and intellectual breakthroughs, agricultural breakthroughs that are going to be needed, along with the political infrastructure and all the other things, and try to condense it, if you will, to a scorecard. That if you were to see real progress in the next 5 years, let's say, what would we see happen? What would change? Nina, I want to start with you, and I want to start, in fact, by reading just a short excerpt of an article that you co-authored with several others that's published just yesterday in Science, entitled Radically Rethinking Agriculture for the 21st Century. And among the many interesting things you write, you say this: it is not at all a foregone conclusion that our current crops can be pushed to perform as well as they do now at much higher temperatures and with much less water and other agricultural inputs. It will take new approaches, new methods. You've said today, think outside the box.
Indeed.
All right, let's say we do that. The next 5 years, and to each of you subsequently, what are some of the things we need to see happen if we're going to feed those 9 billion people not very long from now?
Well, I think the central issue is exactly the things that we've discussed here. That is, simplifying the regulatory apparatus, investing in adaptation to hotter, drier of our current crops, but then developing new crops. This may entail domesticating crops de novo. It took us 15,000 years to produce, to domesticate our current crops. We need to use modern science to move forward and create and make the desert produce food, not just bloom.
Rob?
Looking at Africa, you don't have to go out to 2050 to be concerned. The indicator that I would follow over the next 5 years is investments that African governments make in agricultural development. 60% of Africans are farmers dependent upon agriculture. Currently in Africa, governments spend only about 5% of their budget on agriculture. They pledged to increase that to 10%, but they haven't done it yet. I would like to see them go up to 10% in the next 5 years. They can't do that, however, if the United States and other donor countries are withdrawing support from agricultural development assistance.
So more assistance, more of a priority.
Government commitment in Africa supported by external assistance.
But I think we need to do that here, too. We still don't invest enough in agriculture. We're not preparing our own farmers, frankly.
Well, you're in the administration. We're going to look to you to help drive that conversation.
Doing my best.
Calestis, 5 years.
5 years. It's really interesting when you look at the African educational system. If you train as a doctor, you go and work in a hospital. If you train as a lawyer, you go and work in a law firm or in some other agency. But if you train in agriculture, you don't go to become a farmer. You go to feed the bureaucracy in some place. And so I would like to see reforms in educational systems where universities can be decentralized so that they can connect directly with the farmers, which is essentially adopting the equivalent of the land grant model here, but starting with high schools, because the bulk of the African population is under the age of 20. In fact, the majority of the population is in school. So it's the schools where we should focus our attention.
And using modern technology.
Precisely.
Communications technology, particularly.
Gail Buchanan.
Well, first, we didn't really talk about the constraints that we dealt with in the paper rather extensively that would prevent us from getting where we wanted to get to. And just quickly.
Go ahead.
Soil erosion, and that's another serious one that still has been with us forever. Water, we mentioned that briefly. But fertilizer materials, there's 78% of the air is nitrogen, but yet most plants, other than legumes, can't use it. And how do we get nitrogen that plants can use? Use primarily natural gas, which is a finite resource. But also with things like animal welfare issues, and another one is endangered species, global climate change, the lack of understanding of biotechnology, which we did talk about at great length. But one of the things we also talked about in the paper was the ideas that would get us to the next green revolution. That's what I'm hoping that some of the folks that's tuning in will share any ideas that we didn't include in the paper.
How do you want those ideas? If they have ideas, how do you want them to share them?
Send them to me, because I'm still interested in this topic, because I think that we've got to get a lot of people interested in what's going to happen on this old planet.
Where do they get them to you? How do you want them to get them to you?
Send them to my email site, gaileb@uga.edu.
Sure you want to do this?
Sure. I really would like to have ideas that would help us get to the next green revolution.
Gaileb@uga.edu. You got it.
But Dr. Borlaug said we need to be thinking about another green revolution. And I think he's absolutely right. And I think that's what Nita's saying, that we need to really, if we as a group and as the audience and all the people who's tuned in can maybe start an idea that we've got to get someplace. And we've got to focus on how do we ensure that all the people on this planet have plenty to eat. You know, we have 1 billion people now that don't get enough nourishment, they say. There also is another 1 billion that don't get enough proteins or minerals or vitamins and that sort of thing. So that's a lot of people right now.
I want to highlight something you just said. I mean, you said, got to think out of the box. You just said we need another green revolution.
Absolutely.
Business as usual isn't good enough.
That's not good enough, and that's not going to solve the problem.
But the next green revolution is more complicated than the last one.
Of course.
And that's what you've heard here today, I think.
Exactly. 5 years.
Well, it's difficult to add much to what's been said, but I would say translate the new knowledge into practice across the whole policy front, not just the agricultural or the research budget, and leave the decisions to the appropriate level. You can debate what appropriate means.
Would you like to give us a little definitional?
Well, I had written leave the decisions to local level. Local isn't always appropriate, but if in doubt, I'd leave it out of your regulatory package and delegate it down. We used in Europe to have a word called subsidiarity, which has got out of fashion in recent years, unfortunately, because it's the opposite of what we've actually done.